We're so close to Mass Effect Andromeda. In order to celebrate that, make sure to queue up your EA Access, because we're going to be watching Mass Effect Paragon Lost right now in Video Game Movie Anatomy. Stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Video Game Movie Anatomy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very somber episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy, where today we're going to be covering the prequel to Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect Paragon Lost. What is set, like, this movie made me feel a range of emotions, unlike some of the characters in the film.
Sure.
But we're going to talk about that in a second. Before we do, let's introduce ourselves. I'm one of your hosts, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. We got the whole squad in the house, joined as always by Stacey Shuttleworth.
All right, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff, because I'm a nerd doing stuff.
And our resident Mass Effect expert, Patrick Dees.
So much pressure. What's up, guys? You can find me on Twitter. I'm at P to the Dees. Tweet at me who you want to romance during the course of this. My vote, Mark B. Donica. Being on its own. Romance is real.
I'll roll around in a bed with you.
Fair enough.
Why the hell not?
I got to choose the right options, though. You got to give me dialogue options. Oh, you have no idea.
Meet me in the Citadel.
All right.
So today's movie, as we've mentioned several times, is the often forgotten Mass Effect Paragon Lost that came out.
Why.
Often for good reason.
Anytime we brought this up to folks, like much like our last episode, people went, there's an Animal Crossing movie?
Yeah.
The opposite happened here where they went, yeah, we don't talk about
it. We don't.
That.
We don't talk about it. What film?
In this movie, it is set before Mass Effect 3. James Vega and a group of soldiers try to protect a human colony from the collectors who wish to capture the colonists for unknown purposes. It is an anime-style film directed by Atsushi Takeuchi from 2012. Let's just bolt into it. We're going to start with something that we call our speed runs, which is traditionally a quick review of the film, something you would see as a box quote on the back at your local GameStop, Best Buy, what have you. For example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script, but nails the spirit of the game. We rarely get that quick.
No, this is an open rebellion on the show. Like, we are, like, literally going, I know what you said, this is what we're doing. And then we write essays on it, right?
No, sure.
Everybody has since gone Paragon on the speed run.
I sent her a draft last night. She marked it up. We went back and forth. I feel good about it. It's like a dissertation, dissertation.
So speaking of dissertations, Patrick, do you want to go first?
We actually really randomly, right before we started the show, came up with a speed run that said, if you like Mass Effect but hate yourself, watch this film. So that's my actual speed run. I'll give you my quick-ish dissertation that says, the vexing thing about Mass Effect Paragon Lost is that it seems fundamentally ill-conceived. It doesn't work as an entry point into the franchise, and for adoring fans, it's a glorified footnote in the Mass Effect saga, compared against the high standards set in a game series that has made its players care deeply about the fate of a slew of characters and that inescapable consequences of so many unavoidable decisions. It's impossible to not feel regret for what this movie could have been.
That's good.
It's all right.
Solid.
Thanks.
Stacey.
I want to thank my editor, Stacey. A lot of redlining. I felt pretty good about it.
All right. There's not any one discernible reason that makes this movie outright terrible, but Mass Effect Paragon Lost proves completely underwhelming for both fans of the series and complete newcomers.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good.
That's pretty solid.
And it was quick-ish, too.
I made it pretty speedy today.
Well, after reading
Train Rebellion.
Well, after reading yours and seeing how long it went, we'll bring it back.
All right. What do you got?
For me, it's Paragon Lost exemplifies what the world took away from the Mass Effect series. An ending that doesn't justify the rest of the story.
Oof. Well, we'll get into it for sure. Let me ask you guys this, too. I'm curious to see, what was your frame of reference when you were coming into this? Like, what do you know about the Mass Effect series? Like, is it a beloved thing to you guys as it is to me and many others? Or, like, where are you with the franchise?
Well, I never had an Xbox
growing
up. So I came very late into this series. It was always on the fringe. I knew it existed. I knew the very basics. I knew who Shepard was.
Sure.
You know, you got...
He's a hero. He's a goddamn hero.
Exactly.
That's who he is.
That is all I needed to know.
Yeah, no, yeah, fair enough.
So I recently, or not too recently, but I had picked it up for PC when I finally got a laptop that could run, you know, games.
Sure, yeah.
And I played a little bit and then stopped, and I've been playing it again lately. So I'm still in the first game, but I'm working through it.
Okay.
So I'm really enjoying it.
For me, it's one of the franchises that if you haven't played it, you're going to know something about it. You're going to have a degree of familiarity with it because it took over the world. I have a great respect for the Mass Effect franchise, as we were talking about a little bit before the show. I always felt that the aesthetic and setting is super, super futuristic.
Yeah.
Whereas the tone and the setting and some of the soundtrack stuff makes it feel like a throwback action movie in the best way.
Yeah, yeah.
In the best possible way. I have not finished the franchise in any respect whatsoever because, like, it's bad enough having to get through, like, man, I missed out on that one movie that one trilogy of movies. But a trilogy of games is hours, and especially here.
Well, it's so ambitious.
There's a lot to look. I mean, I am going very, very slowly through this game because I have to talk to everybody. I have to talk to everybody, and then when I talk to them, I have to go through every dialogue option, and then I have to regret the choices that I make when I can't go back to other dialogue options.
100%, right? That is Mass Effect. That's your back-of-the-box quote right there.
It's endless.
Well, so do you want to set some ground rules, too? Because I'm interested. I know you guys haven't finished the series. Are you okay during the course of this to talk about spoilers for the series?
Sure, sure.
All right, so
yeah, that's the thing. You couldn't escape it, really.
Great. Or
especially when all of the stuff with the Mass Effect 3 ending came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't not, like, well, what is it about the ending that people are upset about?
You clicked on that article and read what happened.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So just, you know, for full disclaimer for the audience, we're not only going in-depth spoilers for this film, but this series as a whole. So we're talking everything Mass Effect.
But it's also
today.
Like 4 years ago.
It is,
spoiler alert.
100-
That scared the hell out of me, but I appreciate it.
And you probably should go into Mass Effect Andromeda. If you're excited about that game like we are, you should probably go into it with a little, like, a baseline understanding. From what I understand, it's accessible enough to play without that, but it'll enrich your experience.
Me
too. It seems to be set apart for new people to come into.
Fair enough. Wow.
So let's move on from there.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of... We do another segment here. It's called the controller toss moment, and that's where you're watching the movie and you silently or loudly have a "You've got to be kidding me!"
Yeah.
And you wing your controller across the room. For me, it wasn't anything too storyline. It was all... Mm-hmm. It all had to do with the budget and the presentation of the movie. Like, for example, it's an old anime trope that is 100% for budget cuts, where when somebody is talking at length, instead of paying to animate that character, they focus on the person they're talking to, who's just got it. This person's spilling their soul and you can't see them emote or anything, and it sort of brings the dialogue down to, well, I can't see how much they care about what they're saying, so why should I care?
It's almost like they probably should have skipped those CGI scenes and maybe invested in some characters emoting.
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
Nice.
Just a little added property there?
Yeah, and that another budgeting thing.
Sure.
That was my other one. But Stacey, let's start with you. What was one of yours?
I mean, Essex as a whole was my controller
toss. That's my favorite line.
Fair enough. Which one?
We'll get there.
I wanted him to die in a fire.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yep.
Instantly.
Horribly. Yep. And then be brought back, only to die in a fire again. All and right. then again.
Well, technically, technically he died twice.
It wasn't
he did.
Enough.
Yeah.
Okay, you wanted a slower death.
God.
They didn't give us the satisfaction of watching him die horribly in the crash.
He was the worst.
He was.
The worst.
Well, I think that's my controller toss moment. Like, it opens straight up on sexual assault. Like, awful. we're gonna lead off with that, which is not emblematic of Mass Effect as a whole.
You know, I'll bury the lead and I'll say the line now. The first direct line of the movie is, "You know, nothing gets me hot like seeing you go commando." To which the response is, "Seriously?"
Yeah.
And they're just all cool with it. And it's like, all right, look, I get this is a war setting, and there is in, like, TV and media a certain sense of this is acceptable, but that was not acceptable.
It really wasn't. And, like, the problem is that, like, again, and we'll get into this for sure, because I'm not sure who this film is for, but this is not indicative of the tone Mass Effect takes ever, not once. And, I mean, again, you can argue about the merits about the romance system to whatever degree that you want, and some people would argue that it's a very successful one and an intricate one. I think it's a little bit binary, but what there wasn't ever was the press up and to the left to sexual assault somebody.
That wasn't a part of the DLC.
It was part of how they retconned the ending. If only Shepard had been, like, you know, convicted of just all kinds of assault. Yeah. Although I will say one of my favorite, and you'll get there. There is a Shepard moment. I think it's in Mass Effect 2, where you know how Mass Effect does the thing where you get different options, and it's kind of the spirit of what your Shepard is going to say. And then there's this Paragon Renegade, which we'll talk a little bit about. Right. There's a reporter who's giving you some lip in the middle of this. You're in the middle of this war, and she's got a microphone in front of you, and she's just, like, hassling you about the decision. You're like, look, lady, I'm at war. And the decision is something like, please stop talking to me. I've got other things to do. And I went with that one, right? Like, get out of my face. Like, I'm a hero. And, like, Shepard straight up punches her in the grill. Just punches a woman. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That is not what I chose there.
That's one of the things that I, like, the Telltale Games as well, that I couldn't. Anytime you're like, oh, this doesn't sound too bad. And then it's like the line where it's like, I'm sorry that I can't help you. Now, fuck off!
Yeah,
like, you're like, what?
Whoa, that's what? Not what I was trying to do.
Show me the whole way!
Yeah. Shepard does that again really early on in Mass Effect 1, too, with the scientist
really?
Who's kind of freaking out.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there through the dialogue options, and it's like, she's like, oh, I'll give him his meds and he'll calm down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so one of your dialogue options is, oh, I can help with that. And so I selected that, and she straight up slugs this guy in the face and he goes down.
Like, come on. Like,
I wouldn't have done that.
This is not okay.
That's,
I'm sorry.
That's not fun. Yeah. Patrick, did you have a good...
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and, again, we'll get a little bit spoilery. My biggest controller toss moment is kind of toward the end. There is a reveal, where the collectors are actually the Protheans, right? It's this advanced race that created the Mass Effect relays. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are the Protheans that have kind of been repurposed by the Reapers to go and help with the Reaper cause. This is something that you learn in Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, probably Mass Effect 2. Actually, my point is that like anybody who would watch this film knew that. The big reveal in this film.
I thought it was for 3, if I remember correctly.
It might be, but this also predated Mass Effect 3. Yeah, or post-dated.
It was a lead-in to 3. Like, this is supposed to get you into 3. That, but I
want to check the release date, because I actually think it came out afterward.
You knew all of this already.
Yes.
Yeah, this is for people who had played all the games, this was nothing new.
Right, and so really. That's what throws me for a loop, because it's not accessible. Like, otherwise, there's just a bunch of weirdos looking at their armbands. You don't know anything about this universe. I can't figure out who it's for. Mm-hmm. Or you knew the big reveal the whole time, and you're screaming at your screen. They are the pro... They're the pro... They're the pro... They're Protheans. Over and over again. And I was, like, so frustrated about it.
Because Vega gets introduced in 3, I did a little bit more research into him, and it said that part of his arc in 3 is finding out that sacrificing the colony to get the intel was for nothing.
True.
Because they already had all of the intel that he sacrificed everybody for.
So that you might have learned that in 2, but either way, that is accurate. But my point is that anybody who's played those games, I think it is 2. I should know this. It all blends together as one big long Shepard saga.
Of course.
Right.
But my point is that if you played 2. When you go into this, you know all of this. And Vega is arguably the least interesting character in Mass Effect 3, so I can't figure out why they had his side story. I don't understand.
But then,
he's Freddy Prinze.
Speaking to what you're saying about this being inaccessible, then somebody who goes into this going, oh, well, this is all I need to know for Mass Effect 3 because this is the lead in Mass Effect 3. It's, and then you find out that you wasted your time watching the movie because Vega, all of the stuff and all of the emoting that he did at the end of the movie, not the rest of the movie was standing, was for nothing.
Super in vain. At the other big, yes. So I also have a couple issues there. One, when we come down to the decision, which I think the premise of this movie could have been really cool and in spirit with the game, right? Like, comes down to really tough decisions, who should live or die. In 3, you make some decisions about whole races and their future and how they fit into the galactic stage. With a title like Paragon Lost, pretty sure which way we knew which Vega was going to choose.
Make it very obvious.
I was like, I guarantee I know
what's the choice
going to
be.
Right.
Yeah. It just makes the whole thing lead into, well, there's going to be a choice. There's going to be
right.
a choice. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
And the other thing, there's a continuity issue because Vega straight up tells Shepard on more than one occasion he's the only one that got out. And that's why he's so fucked up. But he clearly left with his Asari and a couple of mess squad mates. Like,
yep,
that is not...
One squad mate.
Not true.
It was Tria and yeah.
Thank you. Despite saying their names several times, this is a
the only
mark
one that
of a
I caught.
Film.
The only one that I caught was Tria. That was the only one that I caught.
No
so
name.
They said them several times. Usually when they were dying, he would exclaim their name as they were going through their death animation.
Tetsuo!
Like, oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Full disclosure: I put on the subtitles so I could see their names.
Smart.
Written over and over again.
Wicked
so
smart.
Well, because
yeah.
I'm like, who are they talking about?
Yeah,
they just keep calling out names, and so I put them on. And I was like, oh, that's who that is.
It was rough too. They did a bad job of introducing characters, but also the exposition dump was like in ways that like characters would never talk, right? Like like, oh, we've got to establish this base for this thing that everybody already knows. Like, I would just never say that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would never, because it's just a known fact. Anyway.
So one of mine, speaking to timing and explaining things, is mm-hmm. that more budget should have been gone to looping and ADR and dubbing. Not to say that the performances
sure.
were super rough, but when there's only a certain amount of time to match the lip dub, where it's like, okay, now we have to get all of the people off of this rock, and if the thing, and they just have to talk yes. in order to fit it into right. the right. mouth.
It got right. really bad.
And it invalidates any of the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, oh, I'm watching a movie. Like it takes. Right. I think there is never truly a moment until it's way, way, way too late where you can get lost in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Agreed.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah. Does anybody have any other ones?
I'll jump in one more time because I felt passionately about this. So we get back to that critical decision moment, and Vega's in his head, and he's trying to, like, am I saving this, my sorry friend, this girl that I'm pursuing, or all these, you know, all the colonists? And he, like, I think, again, potentially really cool setup, and the way it was handled was just so ridiculous when he's punching that dashboard and just agonizing it, and her dialogue back to him about, I know you'll make the right decision. And I'm like, yeah, my decision's not to save the person you're jammering in my ear, you idiot. I'm saving the colonists. You just disqualified. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Sorry. That whole moment was ridiculous.
And the way they set up that whole moment, too, is, okay, I understood she had that intel, but the way they talked about it through that entire scene was like, oh, you know everything. You could just tell them.
Right.
You could just tell them and it's fine. So when we're presented with this big, huge choice that he has, it literally seems like he is just choosing the girl over an entire colony.
Yep.
The intel doesn't really matter.
Right.
And it was ridiculous.
And her with it's a little on the nose when she's like, there's only time to save one.
Yeah, it was super obvious. But also the fact where she's like, it should have been, hey, record everything I'm saying.
Yes.
This is all of the data that's on the thing. All right, now save those people.
Here's the Cliff Notes version. Yes.
So much time.
Because she even said, I can't believe that this happened. He went, no, I need it in writing.
Right.
And then for all of that to not mean anything as well. Like, who cares? And like, why would you agonize over something when the audience they didn't have enough time to build that romance for us to care.
No.
Whereas
you put a
quote romance.
Right. They barely got the friends,
that's
like acquaintances. Right. Out of the
she
way.
Knows my name.
But you put put a little girl in there who wants to be just like him when he grows up. That's something we can all relate to.
Totally. It was an easy connection to make. I mean, we didn't get too much background on her, but we were pretty emotionally invested in that little girl. I'd argue.
But I will say, like, she was so over the top, even the little girl, that it was like, oh, she's super. Dead. You're dead as fuck. Like, it was so emotionally manipulative, right? Like, from the jump, when she's like, no, we're getting married. And like
you're
super
honey,
dead, little
honey,
girl.
You're not laughing.
Yeah, you are not making it out.
Sorry to break the news to you.
But something that I think, a place where I thought it was going is, I know Mass Effect is about making your decisions and having to live with them.
Yes.
But when he did the flashback to the full decision, that made me think, wait, is this him weighing all of the options of that first decision?
Totally. And now we're going to see the other?
And now we're going to see what happens when you save the people?
Yeah, nope.
Which is the right choice?
Yeah, agreed.
Clearly the right choice.
Which gave us a second opportunity to go, you idiot.
Yes.
To really hate this guy.
I mean, yeah, no. I agree. I've got, like, one more controller toss moment because this is one of my favorites.
Dude, this is your show, man.
This is, I don't know. Like, this is just, like, operation planning 101. Mm-hmm. When they're like at the very beginning, which this is a setup, when they're going to fight the Krogans, and anybody knows the Krogans, they are badasses and fearsome warriors and nothing to be fucked with. And they're outlining the plan, right? And it's got this diagram, this like hologram, right? They're outlining the plan and like Krogans are here and we're going to enter from here and here's our flight path. And it's like somebody's like Madden got real drunk and just took the telestrator and was drawing zeros and like, it's like the flight plan's crazy. And you're like, you want me to do what? Like, I don't know.
You said go behind them. Why am I over there?
Wait, why am I writing John Madden in cursive? You know, it's like his name. It's insane. It's like you should really go back. If you haven't seen the scene, go back and pause it on the flight plan because like some animator was just like, yeah, let's have some fun with this.
No one's
going
to look at it.
Right. This is ridiculous. It's so bad.
Yeah, you want to look at it.
And they spend way too long on that frame, too. It's not like somebody is just a blip. They're like, and everybody looks noddingly like enthusiastic about it. Oh, yeah, great. We're going to bomb them. Here come the Marines. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there was a lot Let's talk about the cast before we go into the quote plot a little bit more. Now, this is a really outstanding cast. There's a lot of fantastic actors in there. Folks that we've actually had on shows on the AfterBuzz TV network. Josh Grell.
Yeah.
A big fan of his. We had him on our Ruby After show. He was also on the English dub of Yuri on Ice.
He was great in this, too.
Oh, he's he was good.
But he was like the, favorites. I always thought you were like a father to me type character.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Best he could with what he was given.
Exactly. Yeah. I liked Travis Willingham a lot, too, as Captain Tony.
He did a very good job.
He's always a whole bunch of fun. Yep. Highly recommend him on Camp.
I just want to be called a whole bunch of fun one time in my life. Don't do it this show. Yeah. Save it some other random.
Also, okay, I'll make it for a very important moment.
Yes.
Vic Mignogna.
Yep.
Played Messner, our kind of villain.
Yeah.
He was our villain-ish.
Sure.
He was villain-esque.
I mean, it was their own fault.
Yeah.
Agreed.
He was just like, oh, I'm coming along. Okay.
Much like this entire movie, the performances, that's the plural of performances.
Obviously.
What? Up until like the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie, we're all super subdued. Like, it was like, hey, we're going to die. Everybody's paralyzed. This sucks.
Yep.
But then the last 10 minutes, everybody was like shouting and shaking each other and like punching each other and consoles and everything. It was like, No, you can't go from 2 to 10.
All of a sudden they had emotions.
Build, man.
No.
And that whoever the voice director was or whatever, again, you're working with a certain amount of time and you have to match the animation if everybody's all like cool looking with your sweet glasses. There's only so much you can do. Who was your favorite of the crew? Like,
so I had to keep changing because they kept dying.
Well, they can't be a favorite if they die?
Well, I mean, I had to have a current new favorite.
Who was your
surviving favorite?
I actually really did like Milk, so I'm glad.
I did too. Yeah.
I also really like Mason, the pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nikki. Those are my top three.
Mm-hmm. I really like Tria. Like, she stayed true to herself the whole time. And poor girl, at the end of the movie, Vega essentially says, I regret saving your life.
Yes.
You should be dead right now.
Dude.
I'm sorry for making sure that you were alive.
What is wrong with you, dude? Even take that to the grave.
You live with that. You live with that shame yourself.
Suck it up,
you
dude.
You throw that on her.
No.
She told you not to do that.
Yeah, no, she straight up. Like, I know. Well, she kind of did. She kind of said, you have time to save one. Thanks for being on the nose.
Just one.
Someone had to. They had to tell us.
I mean,
we couldn't figure that out on our own.
Right, but I felt like that should have come from the room near the console that he beat the shit out of. Or the console could have told him.
No.
You have time to save one, Captain.
Which is why
I don't voice act as a console anytime soon.
You can do that.
All right,
I can see it. Right. Audition with that. Come up with one other version,
okay,
and we'll send it in.
I just want to be an AI.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, perfect.
Who's your favorite?
I kind of like Milk. I actually really like Messner, too. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Slimy
punts.
Sounded a lot like Crow.
A little bit, maybe.
From Ruby, if you're familiar.
Wonder why.
Yeah, can't imagine.
No.
But it was very, it felt like Crow, but I love Crow.
But it also wasn't as
more drunk.
It wasn't as drunk. So it wasn't as,
totally.
It wasn't as dragged out or exaggerated as Crow is.
True.
But that was there. Yep. You could definitely see the seeds of that.
It was just funny. Like, and I felt like he was telegraphed from the jump that this guy's up to no good.
Oh, easily.
Yep.
Shady, like, you can't see his eyes. That's... What is he actually thinking? I don't know. Now, our lead, Freddie Prinze Jr., is technically reprising his role from Mass Effect 3.
He's the most boring part of Mass Effect 3. Like, I think he is so good as like Iron Bull, like in Dragon Age, if you're familiar with that, another BioWare property. Like, he's amazing. Arguably my favorite character in years in any of these series. He's just literally, the guy exists to do pull ups. He sits in your ship, and every time you go visit him, he's just doing this. And he's like, you can literally do a pull up mini game with him.
That's awesome.
There are worse existences.
Also kind of dope, but like, that's his sole purpose. I don't know. Yeah. He's lame in the, and I can't figure out why he had his own like
movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, also, clearly of Latino descent. Yeah. And the only reason is the couple of times where he said Spanish words. But
Cayete?
Just every once in a while he would throw in an estupido or something.
Just here and there. No rhyme or reason.
That's right. But other than that, his performance in this was like a tired Kanan Jarrus, like his character in Star Wars Rebels. Similar tone, but there's so much more life and color to Kanan. I don't know what it was about all of these actors, Monica Rial, who played Tria, everybody.
Yeah.
Justin Cook, Josh Grell, Eric Vail, Todd Haberkorn, everybody. Like, they're good performers, and yeah, they did what they could with all of this material. Mm-hmm. But who was directing them?
I have no idea.
Very bizarre.
And I think the guy's really
talented. And I'll never be cast by that voice director.
Never.
That's fine.
But please cast Mark in something, people. If you're watching the show, the man should be in a video game, and I want to play that video game.
Absolutely.
He's just an uninspired character, too, right? Like, yeah, independent of whatever direction. I mean, he could have the best direction in the world. Vega's super boring.
Yeah.
He is, like, super mm-hmm. space marine. And he's functional to play with. Don't get me wrong. I took him as a party member, but he's... Mm-hmm. Not yeah. interesting in any capacity.
Well, yeah, he is very cut and dry, you know, this is soldier.
Yep, yep.
This is what you get. Mm-hmm. This
Hoorah!
And as a Shepard fanboy.
Yes!
There's really no depth other than that.
Yeah, which doesn't never manifest in the game either, which was interesting that they kept keying in on that in
well,
the show.
Well, for a second, it started with, we lost a great soldier. We have to live to be in his debt. And then at the end, like, nuh-uh. Like, that yeah. was so dumb.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
But also, I do like that they alluded to him all the time, and Liara was the other Asari that yes. they contacted, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I watched this movie in parts.
Yes.
And that was a part of the first possibly intoxicated part that I watched it.
That's
and I just
how
wanted to make sure.
Film.
You gotta. You get yourself blue.
Yeah.
But it was always like Shepard, Shepard, Shepard. And the fact that we never saw
sure.
Shepard.
Yeah.
I think kept it alive to be like, oh, it's either Femme Shep or Male Shep.
Right.
It can mm-hmm. it can still be your image of your Shepard
yep.
that you made.
Yep.
I think that's the most successful thing that they did was not including the main character.
Okay.
It was weird bringing back like that at the end, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that is one of the single best moments. And again, spoilers, when you get into two, Shepard dies in the first, like, 6 minutes of that. Not even that. It is mm-hmm. an amazing cold open. You're like, I'm sorry, did we just die? Like, mm-hmm. we're dead? Great, got it.
Good start.
It's
super
an amazing cold, one of the best in gaming history. And then obviously he's brought back to fight the Reapers and go on the suicide mm-hmm. mission, all of those things. But it was weird how just by the end they're like, so you get to hang out with your hero and be all N7 and hoorah and stuff, despite your not being a hero.
And that...
I know.
Like, I felt on a basic level, because we understand how stupid of a mistake that he made, and that's the one little bit that we share with him, them going, oh, no, son, you're a hero. You've saved
oh, yeah.
countless lives.
That
and
made
it's like,
no sense.
Like, well, I think that made a lot of sense. Like, if for somebody who has had that, who made that dumb decision, that terrible decision,
right.
of mm-hmm. course you're going to feel
no,
regret.
Right.
And to jumpstart it like that,
right.
it's like, where was this? We never had. The weight was never there until the very, very end. And even
mm-hmm.
then, it's like when you're blindfolded and somebody puts a feather on your hand, you're like, it's a 20-pound weight. And then you open your eyes and you're like, oh, that was nothing. That's this movie. It's people thinking, oh, this is going to be a lot. Oh, there was nothing in my hand.
No.
Whoops. You tricked me.
Would you guys? So let me ask you this crazy question. Well, like again, let's presuppose that data, that all of that intel was actually vital,
mm-hmm.
right? Or and was more than just the little bits, the little sound bites that we knew.
I mean,
you have to save her.
If they
the
had
fate
played
of the
it
race,
up
right.
to where it was important,
I agree.
I feel like they worked really hard leading up to that moment to kind of make it sound like it wasn't important. We had no reason to believe that whatever intel she had
right.
that was only on her person
yep. mm.
was important enough
I'll give you that.
Weighing against it.
Also, they got that information from one of the consoles on that ship.
Right.
Which, if they had saved, they could have gotten again.
You gotta reload that save.
You can't do that. That's the cardinal rule of playing Mass Effect. You made your decision, son.
Yeah.
You sleep in that bed.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with that one.
Oh, is that right? You're reloading?
No,
every major decision, I take the save, buy a new Xbox, and start it on that new Xbox. And if I don't like the decision, I go back to the old one and play it that way.
The old Xbox?
Yeah, the old Xbox.
Good
and go back
money
to play
bags, Donica.
That's me.
Making it rain.
No, dude, I get one of the older gray ones with the top loader, like 20. It's like $50 tops, and I only have one
Got
copy
it.
Of the game. It's fine.
Fair enough.
And I have endless controllers. But, So we've kind of talked a lot around the plot, which was the collectors and finding out who the Protheans are and all of that. Is there anything super related to the game that you liked Because the only thing that I could really get is how much of a god Shepard was to all of these Marines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the important choice at the end. Like, those are the only made, like, huge Mass Effect things that I got.
Yeah, and there's huge misses. I know this is not answering your question. I'll just point out the lack of other Mass Effect things. Like, mm-hmm. the music. Like, I could have used some actual, like, really synthy, like, sci-fi synth there. Mm-hmm. I would have settled for the actual sound effects that they use for the guns in the game, mm-hmm. which they failed to use.
Because, like, with at the beginning, the weapons of why am I blanking on the species?
The Krogans.
Yes. Thank you. The sound effects of those weapons were really lame.
It's like a kid in a backyard going. Brr,
brr, no, even less. Brr. It's like they found the wrong track on the CD, and it's like. Like it's the wrong stuff. Shout out to our YouTube watchers. But yeah, it was just so lame. I didn't feel like I was in the middle of this big space adventure. Like the shot that we get of the battlefield where it's all of the energy like flying back and forth. And then once we get close, it stops.
It could have been dealt. They have these assets. My point is that like they collaboratively work with the folks that made the game. Like there are sound effects that would have drawn you in. I would have been a sucker for a nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Just even the little piano tinkle, the doo-doo-doo-doo. Like I would have been bought in, but they don't use any of that. Just one choice, which is spoiled by the goddamn title. By the title of the film.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, no, there's not. I'm sorry.
No
idea. Like, what are we doing?
I have no idea.
Yes, no. There was very little that I think tied back at all, or even felt like the spirit of it. Like, first of all, I'm fine with a mature film. I like, as far as like blood and violence, I think the Mass Effect does a really good job of dealing with a lot of those. I mean, you can assert that it deals with American exceptionalism and racism, and like any good sci-fi does, it deals with really mature themes. Mm-hmm. There's never once anybody yells the word bitch or you know what I mean?
There is a lot of cursing in this.
There's a lot of
that's just for action movie sake.
Gratuitous sake. Yeah. I would have been fine again if there was some gravitas or this moment, but like again, like none of it felt like that same tone. Mm-hmm. It's the same sexual assault tone. It's a straight up for like you going commando and grabbing an ass and what are we doing? Sorry. I had feelings.
I'm gonna miss that ass.
It's just not Mass Effect.
Ass Effect. Sorry.
There we go.
So yeah, like there wasn't anything too major. The film undid itself by mm-hmm. the end, and by even being a part of the Mass Effect franchise, it undid itself. I think I heard a rumor that this was supposed to spark a Mass Effect anime series that never ended up going forward.
Can't imagine why.
I can't me either. But talking a little bit about the critical, this was a digital or a home release only. Mm-hmm. It came out November 29th, 2012, and it has an IMDb score currently of 5.9 out of 10 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 60% from the audience, so kind of the same. And the couple of reviews that I found were from Jen Bozier of Forbes.com. Overall, it's difficult to recommend Mass Effect Paragon Lost. As a diehard fan of the franchise, I felt myself nitpicking and scratching my head too often to be engrossed, and this feels like the type of offering that is targeted to the diehards. But it's difficult to imagine casual Mass Effect fans going crazy for it either. Yeah. We don't know who it's for.
I don't know who it's for. It's not for the diehards, and it's...
Yeah, it's not accessible at all if you don't know anything about Mass Effect.
It's
or if
nonsensical.
You only know, oh, Shepard is the main character. Then they talk about things that you'd be completely lost with.
I recall blue people.
Right. Yeah,
blue
like,
people.
Oh, yeah, those Krogan. They're bad.
The Krogers.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
I've been to a Krogan before. They were great deli. Another review that I found, Pedro Cortez from Japanator.com.
Subpar. That's not a website.
It is.
Mark
it's
just
a website.
Made that up.
I really had to search for reviews. It's a website.
Not a website.
Subpar, though not offensively bad, arguably, this one is just plain poor. It'll find dogged defenders, but just can't appeal to anyone outside of that deluded circle.
Ouch.
Wow.
So if you like this movie, that's Pedro Cortez
from where?
At Japanator.com.
You have to say it like this. Okay, new rule, Japanator.
Japanator.
Yeah, Neon crushed it. Hire this man.
The Japanator.
I would play that stage.
It's like a Street Fighter. Japanator. Now let's go into some of our favorite parts of the show, which is not directly talking about the movie, but how it can be better.
Ooh,
let's start, though, with our favorite lines. I already said my first one, you know, nothing hits me, huh? Like seeing you go commando.
No.
Seriously?
Nailed it.
Seriously?
Nailed it.
No.
Terrible.
It. Just stop.
Terrible.
Leave.
But it gets better with another one that I have that I'll wait until... Who wants to go first with another good line?
I would have said, like, if they leaned into that guy, he would have been way more interesting. Offensive, but more interesting than the rest of this bland, safe, boring, terrible film. Like,
I mean, maybe. Yeah. he was awful.
He was bad.
So bad.
But it wasn't even just if they established him as a, like, man, I wish I had a girl of my own, so I might as well just whatever. He stayed that one note the entire time.
And a little bit homophobic when he basically took a shot at you being gay for Shepard.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was... on many levels, he was gross.
Right, totally.
Terrible.
Yep. Unbelievable.
But what other favorite lines do we got?
I got one for you. It's when they're flying in on that awesome Madden Telestrator flight plan. Some rando driving one of the ships yells, "Get off my lawn, you filthy space turtles!" Which is a great name for a Krogan. Filthy space turtles.
Space turtle?
Yes.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of mine...
Mark didn't know how to handle that
filthy
one.
Filthy mutant space turtles.
No. Why not? Mason had a couple of my favorite lines.
Did he?
Yeah, I thought he was entertaining.
Okay.
I liked his little nickname, Flyboy, I think, more or less.
It's pretty cute.
Mason's our pilot, yeah. it's after he gets wounded in the first battle, and Vega's like, "You're gonna live there, Flyboy?" And he's groaning in pain and just like horribly
I'm
wounded.
Dying, you yeah, asshole!
No. And yeah. He goes, "I told you, I quit that job." You're dying.
Straight up, my leg's at the right angle. Like, this is not okay. Like,
coughing
shut
up blood.
Stop it, Vega. And then he says something in Spanish that's mildly offensive. Like, cállate. I don't know. Mark, what do you got?
My only other one that I wrote down because it got too terrible was, "You've got eyes, don't you? Everyone wants a piece of blue."
Oh, yeah. Oh yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actively blanked that one out.
I actively bled that one out. My eyes were bleeding.
That was two Essex, right?
Pretty sure.
Which is another strike against Essex, because in this universe he's also quite racist, apparently.
Yeah,
because
that was when Vega and Tria were down, like,
terrible.
Like right outside the comms tower. They were like, "Why don't you try to talk to her?"
racist, homophobe, yeah. Misogynistic.
Oh,
fuck that guy.
He's...
Man, I wish he died a worse death. You're super right.
He did not deserve that death.
In the spirit of making it better, let's kill him several times. That's a great point. Biotics can come back. We'll kill him several times.
How can we kill him more?
Messner drops a little pearl of wisdom when he's talking about Cerebrus. And he says, Cerebrus knows it's kind of our thing. It's like, what? Like, I understand they gather intel, but...
Oh, yeah, that was...
But he said it's so cool, like he was waiting for it. Oh, shit. They do know. That
Whoa.
Is their thing. What? No. It's ridiculous.
Mm.
No.
Anybody have any other ones?
I don't. That's it. That
okay.
was generous. That was scraping
yeah.
the
so,
bottom
so,
of the cesspool.
Unfortunately, we're very, 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 very light on time. All so
right.
what right. we're going to do is we're going to speed cast. We're going to talk about our shepherds.
Ooh. Okay.
There's so many characters in the Mass Effect universe that we can't necessarily, like, if you try to cast them all, we'll be here all night.
Yep.
So I wrote down a couple of male female Sheps.
Oh, did you?
I got two males and one female.
Okay.
Ah, I want to hear it.
I went, because Patrick, you were telling us about your Shepard and how they were a little bit older.
Yeah. A little bit.
That made me think, oh, what if I pick a little bit older of an actress and a little bit older of an actor, and then I go young as well.
Who you got?
So for male and female, my young male, I'm going Tom Hardy. Because he can fit, I think he's slate enough to where he can fit.
For those people at home, he just said to Tom Hardy, it's time to drink.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say him in a minute.
You're going to say
so
Tom Hardy
yes,
as
yes.
well. And for female, Anne Hathaway.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh, that
I think
good.
I think she could do
is
really well.
That's awesome. She would
good.
Kick some serious Krogan ass.
Yeah, she would.
What do you got, Space?
So for my younger option, male Jensen Ackles.
Jensen Ackles, remind me.
It's Supernatural.
His main, yeah, his main
got
thing
it, got
is
it.
Supernatural.
Yeah. Not bad, not bad.
And then, so John Bernthal is my second pick. Bernthal, yeah.
Just Punisher.
Like you, just yes. like you to read that out loud. Right
oh,
there.
Look at that.
Look
yep.
at that. Every single time we're on the same page. We just exchanged thesis, not not casting notes. So I actually, when I first created my Shepard, I was doing the put Patrick in the game. So I created an older, grizzled, redheaded guy. And I actually went with Damian Lewis from Homeland or Band of Brothers, if you're familiar with
him. Oh, yeah, I like him.
And so I thought he would be an awesome kind of older, like, war-torn shepherd. And then I'm curious, I have to ask this, because Garrus is my favorite character, bar none, maybe, period, all time, ever.
I wrote down a Garrus.
Can I ask who you have for Garrus?
Julius Bjornsson, The Mountain.
Oh.
I think fun just for size, so that so he could play the Krogan size a little bit.
So Garrus isn't the Krogan, that's Rex. But he
You're
would
right,
be amazing.
Right. Excuse
Rex.
Me.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm so
he's
sorry.
He's the Turian, the one that looks like the insect.
I did
your
not.
Best, your,
I did
but
not cast
that guy is an awesome
yeah,
Rex.
I'm gonna
he is a
Rex.
Great Krogan. I got Ron Perlman as my Krogan.
That's good.
It's all right. Do you have a Rex? Do you have
a Rex?
No. Or
Ron Perlman was my Rex. Okay. So, yeah. I didn't cast Garrus because I don't think I know him well enough yet to.
Okay. Jeremy Renner. Anyway.
Oscar Isaac. Tom Hardy. Got very them both. Good. Drink.
Did any other Shepherds?
No, that's all I got for Shepherd.
Charlize Theron.
I put Charlize as well for my older female chef. Yeah. And my older male one, Tom Cruise. Can't beat it. Well, you could. You probably could. But I like Charlize Theron for female Shepherd.
Super good.
Great, kick so much ass. All right, so we've kind of been thorough about our thoughts about this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to skip final thoughts because it's been pretty consistent.
Yep.
Or not. We just got more time. So final thoughts about Mass Effect.
I have a couple, and I've got actually some questions, if you guys are right. We have a little bit of time.
Now that we have
I'm curious to see, what are you... As people who didn't go through the whole trilogy, what do you... off mic, we talked a little bit about all being excited about Mass Effect Andromeda. What do you have most... What are you most excited about? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope that game does?
I mean, I like the exploration and I like the openness of it. I'm never a big first-person shooter person or just kind of shooter in general. So that's always more of a struggle for me. But the story... I'm willing to go through it for.
I think the combat, you can play these games on easy and play for the story. So, like, literally, if you just don't want to sweat the combat at all.
That's what I tend to do sometimes. If it's a game where I'm more interested in the story than others. But I'm going with Stacey. Exploration's always been my thing, and the fact that you have such this big universe and can almost go anywhere. Maybe not to No Man's Sky levels. Sure. But if there's an opportunity to get lost in space, no pun intended, I'm all about it. And and I felt super bogged down by the history and the responsibility of Shepard from all three. So the fact that we've only just within the past couple of months started learning about our main character, and it's a new frontier.
Yeah,
makes it a little bit more accessible.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping for like a more fleshed out morality system, right? Like, so we just got Paragon Renegade in the first ones. I'm hoping there's some more shades of gray during the course of it, and it looks like there are, but we'll have to see how this all pans out. I'm trepidatious about this game. I'm a little worried.
Do you have EA Access?
I don't.
Okay, so for EA Access members, you can download the first part of the game starting this Thursday, March 16th, which is a full 5 days, 4 or 5 days before the game officially releases on the 21st. So if you're a Mass Effect fan, make sure to pick up EA Access. You'd be helping out a friend. I do know a guy who works for QA there. He's a wonderful human being. And it's a very good service, especially if you're a Mass Effect fan. But in terms of this film, we have a question that we ask before we sign off, whether we give this movie an extra life or the series a game over or an extra life. Do we want to see more Mass Effect? Patrick?
I'm going to say a very qualified yes. I think you have to choose the right story in the universe. Again, I was just talking about my never-ending bromance. It's like Mark Donica or Garrus. At any given moment, it's one of the two. Garrus is an unbelievable character. In the pantheon of video game history, characters in history, he's one of the best. He's one of the best fleshed out. Mm-hmm. That relationship is all... Go ahead.
But that has to do with you.
True.
He's the best character because you make him the best character. Play him like a total piece of garbage.
But he's really well nuanced, right? Like true. He's incredibly well written. He's awesome. And I think that they intentionally saved all of the best lines for Garrus. He also has a really interesting story that's completely throwaway. Mm-hmm. So the end of one, some stuff happens. Then Garrus goes away. You have to go find him again at the beginning of two when he thinks Shepard died. You go find this Archangel character. He becomes this universe-renowned sniper. You find him and he's been hunting somebody. You don't ever really learn any of that. It's fucking fascinating. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell that story. They tell James Vega occasionally dropping some Spanish as opposed to something really potentially interesting and like this whole arc that just goes unexplored in that universe. So my conditional yes would be it about the right character, be it Garrus or Rex, again, at Krogan. Again, right character. This universe is so impossibly well written. Tolkien said something very interesting to me. He said the culture is in the details. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, this is one of those universes they took the time to really build out details in characters and races and how they relate to each other and not just with themselves and all the politics. And I think there's so much that could be fleshed out in this universe. So I always say, yes, please, more Mass Effect. Let's just get the story right.
Mm-hmm. Stacey?
Yeah, not like this movie. But
not like these.
There were things wrong with this one.
It's a Matrix reference. But.
Yes.
Yes, well done.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First name Switch.
Switch. Yes. That is Switch. Audio that is Switch. Switch. Shout out to the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
But for a Mass Effect movie, I think it would be... Nice. Yeah. I figured it would be something more along the lines of Kingsglaive, because Kingsglaive had a very small amount to directly... It was a very good prologue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The characters weren't... Most of the characters weren't in the game.
Nope.
Right.
But it gave us... a piece of world building. Mm-hmm. It established who some of the most important people in that world are, despite its faults.
It straight up made that game make sense. How about that?
It really made
that game. Like, I never would have understood what was even going on if I had not been forced to watch that show for this show.
Yeah.
So this show is definitely...
Without that movie, it would have been a very different playing experience, mm-hmm. just because, it would have been a lot more confusing. Like, wait, whoa, what just happened?
You're who?
Hold on.
That's fun.
Interesting. So it actually helped a lot.
So if it was something along the lines of that actually helped build the world with maybe characters that aren't pre-established, you could have a little bit more play with them.
Totally.
Yes.
And maybe not animated. Maybe not
animated like that.
Not animated like this. Maybe not Japanese animated. Maybe a little bit more CG.
I mean, the Kingsglaive was unbelievable.
Gorgeous. That's another stunning thing. People can now animate in engine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder how much it would take for EA to use the Andromeda engine to build a film out of it.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Because even the 3D Resident Evil ones, they're not in engine, but the models look way close to the in-game model, to in-game engine. And we're going to talk about those at some point, even though we thought we were done with Resident Evil. But we're not.
Never.
We'll never be
Resident
done.
Resident Evil's not done with us.
Even though it said the final chapter, we have so much more to do. But that's not to say that we're doing Resident Evil next week, because, God, we need a break. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say an Extra Life as well. There is so much history in such a short time.
Yeah.
Like, this franchise deserves a good movie. Amen. It's technically still in production, in pre-production hell.
It's
been a while. I really hope that we end up seeing the final product. And with the financial success of Assassin's Creed, which it did go positive.
Great.
Mm-hmm. It did end up in the black. Warcraft ended up positive. It seems like the video game market isn't entirely dead.
Well, and the source material is so rich. There's so much to draw from, right? They can tell actual stories that are tangentially related but grounded in that universe. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be beholden to this game at all.
And they can absolutely make them accessible for a wider audience.
Totally.
And Space is in right now. Guardians of the Galaxy, huge, critical darling. Well, and Star Wars being back in the big way.
Yes.
People,
go for that sci-fi.
Yeah, go for the sci-fi audience. It's all there. So we got a universal Extra Life from the entire crowd. We do not know what movie we're going to be doing in 2 weeks' time, probably because Patrick's going to be too busy playing Mass Effect.
Way too busy.
And I'm going to be playing Final Fantasy, which you just let me borrow.
I did.
So thank you very much.
100%.
Even though everybody wants me to play Horizon, which I don't know which I'm going
to start.
I want you to play Horizon.
Both.
Yeah, play Horizon.
So. I'm going to play both.
Can we
some
vote?
Point.
Please tweet at Mark. You can find him at MarkVidonica.
Well, here's
please
the thing.
Him and just say hashtag Horizon.
I had a poll up for whether I should get a PS4 Pro or a Switch, and it was at 50% each for the longest time, and it seemed like people kept voting in pairs to keep it even. Jerk move.
I voted
PS4.
It
was on purpose.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did too.
Thank you both. I know where my friendships truly lie.
Yeah.
So until we're back in 2 weeks' time on March 27th,
yes.
Where can the folks find you? What are you up to, Patrick?
Fair enough. Up to some fun stuff. So you can find me on Twitter at P2TheDs, and we own a couple of indoor football teams. You can find the app in the App Store. It's called Screaming Eagles. You can see the logo right here. They're the first professional football team that is wholly run by the fans. You call the plays in real time.
That's okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, you can play. You call the plays in real time, so you can watch it live on YouTube. It's being hosted by Sports Illustrated, so go to SI.com, watch the game, and you can actually call the plays in real time, decide what our team does, gain fan IQ points, all that jazz. So tweet at me, all that stuff's in my
bio. And I would highly recommend it. I did it for the opening contest, game of the Screaming Eagles. It's a lot of fun. You get to watch live or take part live. If you're a football fan, highly recommend it.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
thanks,
Mark. But I don't know enough to actually vote.
So
I didn't want to mess things
just
up.
No, good news is.
Hail Mary all the time.
All the time. Well, so the good news is that the algorithm surfaces all four plays are ones that we want to run. It's all dictated by our game plan and how we are down and distance. So you can't pick a wrong play.
Well, just that's good to know.
I know. Right.
Participation trophy. Fair enough. Stacey. Stacey, what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or at Nerds Doing Stuff. Convention season in Southern California starting up again, so we're going to be all over the place. Yeah, oh boy. But in a good way, mostly. So we'll be posting lots about that coming up soon.
San Diego?
We're doing San Diego. Yeah, Comic-Con tickets just went on sale. We managed to snag ours again. Yeah.
Exhales deeply.
Well, no, because I've got a big slate coming up for Comic-Con as well. It's going to be pretty huge. Popcorn Talk's going to be there in a big way. AfterBuzz, BHL.
Yes.
We're all heading down to Comic-Con, but that's months from now. I'm going to be all around the place, but I'm going to be back here every week as much as I can for this show because I absolutely love doing this show.
Absolutely.
But follow me on Twitter, Mark B. Donica. I'm going to be heading to WrestleMania in Orlando and then also Star Wars Celebration. Also in Orlando.
So cool.
Follow me at Mark B. Donica. Follow the network at The Popcorn Talk. Check out other shows, Sci-Fi Weekly, Jedi Alliance, which is one of the ones that I host, Action Movie Anatomy. So much great stuff here. Thank you so much for watching. You can make sure to leave reviews on iTunes and all that fun stuff. But until then, we will see you at the we'll see you in the Citadel.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Nailed it.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.